It is Thursday, February 27th. I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Lucy Steiner. Which one of these stories will you be talking about today?
Donald Trump tells America not to worry about the coronavirus. You know what that means. Meanwhile, is there growing pressure on free speech from big money? Ask Michael Bloomberg or James O'Keefe. Those guys seem fine. And lastly, fascist leaders around the world are making shows of force. But democratic resistance is also growing, even in the U.S. Marine Corps.
You're listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie. And these are the stories you need to know.
Donald Trump took time out of his busy complaining schedule to deliver an important public health message to America yesterday. That message was, I don't know the specifics, but don't worry. We had too many doctors just sitting around at the Centers for Disease Control. That's why I cut payroll. But if we do need more doctors because the coronavirus gets bad, I can hire them quickly. Not that it will get bad, but it could. Nancy Pelosi wants you to panic, but not me, the president, who said yesterday of the deadly new disease, COVID-19, quote, there's a chance it could get fairly substantially worse, but nothing's inevitable, end quote. Really? I mean, who's to say? The president used a global health emergency to spread xenophobia while falsely accusing critics of exaggerating the severity of the virus. He said, quote, if you feel like you have a flu, sort of quarantine yourself, but don't go outside, end quote. He whined about getting embraced by a sick man. He said schools across the country should be prepared, but he offered no information on what they should do. He ended an informational press conference without giving CDC officials time to inform people. Those experts this week portrayed the virus as of grave concern. The White House said Trump had everything under control, and clearly not. Trump promised to investigate reports of medical price gouging, but his administration told Congress it wouldn't supply a coronavirus vaccine to everyone should one even be developed. The president also raised the possibility of border closures and travel restrictions. But the headline was, Trump puts Vice President Mike Pence in charge of coronavirus response. After the White House farce, California public officials announced they had discovered a coronavirus case of unknown origin. That means they could not trace the infection back to someone who had traveled abroad, which means Trump's border talk was, of course, bigoted nonsense. Democratic presidential frontrunner Bernie Sanders said on Twitter, quote, I am deeply concerned not just by the rise of cases of coronavirus worldwide, but by the inadequate and incompetent response we have seen from Donald Trump and his administration. We need a vaccine that's available to all, not just those who can afford it, end quote. And amen. It's been a bad week for freedom of speech in the Trump regime and beyond. First came a denial from the comically bloated campaign of former Republican Democratic presidential candidate and billionaire oligarch Michael Bloomberg. He may have slipped up at the debate and said he, quote, bought, end quote, several members of Congress. But he did not, the campaign says, pay for people to cheer for him at this week's debate in South Carolina. Okay, whatever you say, sir, you can't see, but I am winking. New reporting put scrutiny on the nature and extent of Bloomberg's propaganda machine. A report in The Guardian characterized his nearly $500 million campaign as polluting the information ecosystem and undermining trust in news. And a report yesterday in The Markup, a tech news site, showed that Google was delivering way more of Bloomberg's messages past email spam filters than his Democratic rivals. 17% of Bloomberg's emails made it into the inbox, a study said. That's compared to 0% of Elizabeth Warren's emails and 2% of Bernie Sanders. Silicon Valley darlings Pete Buttigieg and Andrew Yang fared far better than even Bloomberg, with 63 and 47% of emails delivered. They must know something we don't, or more likely, they may know someone we don't. Meanwhile, ABC News suspended a correspondent who said in a secretly recorded private conversation that he was a socialist. The reporter, 56-year-old Emmy and Peabody award-winning war correspondent David Wright, faces corporate sanction because of a sting by the paid Koch brothers agent and proven fabricator James O'Keefe. At NBC, former Saturday Night Live cast member Pete Davidson said he was, quote, forced, end quote, to apologize after making a joke about Dan Crenshaw, the Trump-loving former Navy SEAL. Anyways, thanks for supporting independent media.
Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend. And regardless of what you order, receive 10% off your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. And all shipping is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at JustCoffee.coop.
Fascists are on the march around the world with some hopeful signs of resistance from the public and from institutions. The confirmed death toll in India, where Trump just visited and sanctioned horrific anti-Muslim pogroms led by the government, rose to 27. In Brazil, Trump's other fascist ally, Jair Bolsonaro, lent his support to upcoming rallies attacking democracy and promoting a return to military dictatorship. There is better news on this front, though none of it, obviously, is ideal. The U.S. Marine Corps announced it was banning the display of all Confederate symbols. Of course, the Civil War ended in 1865. The Justice Department announced it arrested five leaders of the neo-Nazi terrorist group Atomwaffen Division. The group had multiple murders to its name and had threatened to kill several journalists, including a ProPublica reporter named in the court filing, and multiple friends of this very show. Separately, the House of Representatives passed a bill making lynching a federal hate crime and named for the 14-year-old civil rights martyr Emmett Till. However, four congressmen voted against the bill. They were Justin Amash of Michigan, Thomas Massie of Kentucky, Ted Yoho of Florida, and Louis Gohmert of Texas. And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
A gunman killed five co-workers at the Molson Coors headquarters in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This was yesterday, the same day that Trump said, quote, they're going to destroy the Second Amendment. But no, what we're talking about is the virus, and after we win elections, the stock market is going to boom like it's never boomed before. End quote. He, of course, forgot hopes and prayers, but he did send condolences. A union representing 4,000 commercial property janitors in Minneapolis-St. Paul, Minnesota, announced it would join student climate strike to demand green jobs. Solidarity with Service Employees International Union Local 26, who will walk out next week. One striking cleaner, born in Mexico, said she would have been afraid to demand better wages 4 years ago, but now is no longer afraid. And in slightly different news, Jordan Peterson's daughter, Michaela, posted a photo of the two of them in Moscow this week. It's proof of life for the best-selling author, academic, and right-wing YouTube personality. Michaela said Jordan was in some kind of secret Russian rehab for his benzo addiction after doctors in North America refused to sign off on his preferred treatment plan, a potentially fatal cold turkey detox, and, of course, his all-beef diet. No one has yet verified the family's incredible story.
Quicker quickie.
That's all for the AM quickie. Join us this afternoon live on the Majority Report at noon or later as a podcast.